fighting for truth, justice, and the American way. Without the cape or the superpowers, not even a sidekick. Heck, we don't even have fancy gadgets. This is just Joe and his trusty microphone, made in the USA. This is the regular Joe Show.
Oh, suck it.
Well, good morning and welcome. Joe Gigante, your regular Joe, here with you on this Tuesday morning, kicking off another broadcast where we will try our best to reinforce traditional American values, find pathways to defending life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which a big part of that, of course, is our family. But before we get to that endeavor, you're right, we do it every morning and we aren't going to stop until there's a change in the administration. It is 9:07 a.m. Central Time, which means in the United Arab Emirates, it is 6:07 p.m. Afghanistan, the quagmire mixed with a foobar, and much worse, it is 6:37 p.m. On the Ivory Coast, 2:07 p.m. And in Beijing, China, ladies and gentlemen, 10:07 p.m. That is your new and improved Biden crime family time check. But look, don't go far. I've got a little more business things to handle real quick, but we're going to have an update for the Biden crime family time check right out of the gates. But first, I have to do this part where I tell you the number. It's 888-455-1360. I mean, really, just program it into the phone and just have it at the ready. 888-455-1360. Text messages can be sent to 79489. And of course, emails to regular.joe@mwcradio.com. Make sure the dot's in there as we broadcast live from our flagship station in Green Bay, WTAQ, joined by the brilliant voice of Sheboygan, WHBL, and the vibrant triple threat of Wausau, WSAU, your red, white, and blue radio network. So as I said, we have an update for the Biden crime family time check. Yesterday, Secretary of State, I want to call him acting. I know he's confirmed, but the reason I want to call him acting Secretary of State is he seems like somebody that's just acting, just putting on a show, trying to, it's like a little kid trying to play dress up. But anyway, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken was on the hot seat in the House. Today, he'll be in the hotter seat in the Senate. And we've got plenty to talk about what he said there, what came out of that. But first, there was a part of the hearing that was rather unexpected, but nonetheless quite informative. Representative Scott Perry, he's a Republican of the 10th District in Pennsylvania, asked a question that it was pretty obvious that Anthony Blinken wasn't expecting it was going to be asked, wasn't ready to answer, and I mean, you talk about fumbling. He made Joe Biden's speeches sound succinct and to the point. Cut number 28. Here's what happened.
How long was your recent interview with the FBI, and was it a deposition?
I'm sorry, I don't know what you're referring.
Are you saying that you have not had a recent interview with the FBI since becoming Secretary of State?
I'm not sure what you're referring to, and I'm happy to take that up with you offline.
Did the State Department turn over documents to the FBI related to Hunter Biden, Burisma, and or the Blue State Strategies Corporation?
You'll have to.
So you have no knowledge of this. You have had no. You don't. You are you saying you have not had an interview with the FBI since becoming Secretary of State?
It would not be appropriate for me to comment in a public forum on any legal proceedings that the department.
I'm not asking you to comment on the legal proceedings. I'm just asking if you've been interviewed by the FBI since becoming Secretary of State.
Again, I'm not going to comment one way or another on any legal proceedings or not that may or may not have happened.
Have you sought to-
let me remind the gentleman that the topic of this hearing is Afghanistan.
Ooh.
That's what we're.
I appreciate it, Mr. Chairman, but the Secretary generally refuses to answer questions about Afghanistan, so I just figured we'd talk about something he should be intimately familiar with. Have you sought to alter any of your testimony from last year's Senate investigation regarding this topic, Mr. Secretary?
So just so you know, that was Congressman Meeks. He's the chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee that desperately was trying to come in and save Blinken when he woke up, because it took him a good minute. He's like, oh, wait, no, that's the wrong topic. But that was awesome. By the way, those were very easy yes and no questions that Blinken refused to answer. Now, Scott Perry, Congressman Scott Perry, was on Fox News Primetime talking about this last night, And he explained what this is about in cut number 29.
What we're trying to do is, obviously, Blinken is well coached. He wouldn't come in person. He's on video, so he can pre-script all the questions. We can't. The screen goes dark when we're talking. So he has time to see our questions and hear our questions, and then get an answer from his advisors before he actually answers.
So in other words, he's trying to shake it up, as he should. And then one more quick soundbite. Then I'm actually getting to a special phone call here. All right. Well, that's fine. I'll talk about it in a moment nonetheless. But he talked, then he went in depth about why this was an issue. That why he was specifically asking about it and what this FBI, deposition, whatever, questioning session, whatever it was, why he thought this is of great value. Cut 30.
So I thought I'd talk to him about something that I knew was reported that he had had conversations with the FBI and that potentially they've called him back in because something's not matching up regarding his relationship with Hunter Biden when he was Assistant Secretary of State. I think it's something that the American people ought to know. I question this Secretary of State's judgment and his credibility regarding Afghanistan and everything else. And the fact that he's had a close relationship with Hunter Biden when he was Assistant Secretary of State regarding events in Ukraine, that's very concerning to the American people.
So in other words, there could be a smoking gun there. No, not the one that Hunter Biden had thrown in the trash. No, not that one. But the one that goes back to Burisma, something we've known for ages is a problem. And, of course, it could tie right into the current Secretary of State. Just putting it out there for a little bit of knowledge. There it is, your Biden crime family time check. Plenty to get to today. We're going to get to a special call here in just one moment. I just want to give you a couple quick headlines and we're going to do the call. One piece of good news. Fox Nation, which is their streaming channel, is reviving the TV show Cops. I think this is good news because, first of all, it was a fun show to watch for many years, but it was canceled last year by Paramount because they got cold feet. They were afraid, can't say anything nice about a cop or else, nobody will watch the show. But Fox Nation President Jason Klerman released a statement on the relaunch of the program saying Cops is one of the most iconic brands on television with an incredibly passionate fan base. We wanted the show to show our appreciation to all first responders by combining the launch with a free one-year subscription to give back in a small way to those that place their lives on the line every day to keep us safe. So a piece of good news for those of you that watch or have Fox Nation as a subscription. We will get more into the situation with Afghanistan, North Korea on the fore, the U.S. Capitol, fences going back up. And by the way, remember how they keep saying all this $3.5 trillion wish list is paid for? Well, we're going to get into exactly how they're going to pay for it. But first, I want to go to Andrea, who's in Appleton. Good morning, Andrea. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Now, you sent, and I apologize, you had sent me an email, and I didn't see it to after the show yesterday, so I wasn't able to do anything with it on the show itself. But you last night were one of many parents that was in Appleton trying to address the mask mandate that they're putting forth and basically it more so address how your children are learning or not learning in the environment. How did that go?
Well, it didn't. They had a policy in place that said that we had to wear masks in order to come in and speak. And Matt Zimmerman, the assistant superintendent, came out and said, hey, you guys can come in, but you do have to wear a mask. So, of course, we reiterated that it's against our belief system to wear a mask. And they basically turned us away and told us that we could not come in and speak.
Now, what's kind of amazing to me is obviously the whole Q&A session, or the ability to speak, was on this topic. And I almost find it would be laughable, if not frustrating, that they would create a situation where people that clearly oppose wearing masks can't speak because they're not wearing a mask. I mean, it's like they created a perfect out for themselves. Well, I mean, we'd love to hear from you, but I mean, you can't wear the mask. And we're not going to give any kind of accommodation. I mean, they could have put the microphone 20 feet away from anybody, and that would have been more than sufficient, right? Social distancing. What would be the problem?
Right. And what's actually really funny is that Alderman Hartsheim and I offered to stand outside and weigh it until it's our turn to speak. And the podium, well, I should say the boardroom when you walk in is directly right outside the entrance. And when you stand there and speak, the podium is distanced from everybody in the boardroom. And it's only one person allowed in there at a time.
So there would have been no there'd be really no concern from what we actually know about the science of this. I mean, this is the thing. They let the kids take their masks off to eat lunch, right?
Right.
So the whole thing's pointless. The minute
we
they
saw administrators and police officers inside sitting next to each other, not socially distanced, eating snacks while we were standing outside protesting.
Which, again, though, I know you sent me some videos. I got to see, I think I saw the ones with Zimmerman. I'm curious, do you have video of the other, of the people without that didn't have their mask on?
We do, yes.
Okay, because if you send those to me, I will definitely highlight those. I mean, this is the thing. The absurdity of all this, first of all, is these are the public school systems. They are being funded by your tax dollars, and it's your children that you want to address, yet they seem to think that they can live in some kind of political fiat where they can be the sovereigns and they don't have to be accountable to anyone. And it makes no sense. And not only that, but they talk about the science. They aren't even willing to listen to the actual science when it comes to children. The fact of the matter is they don't spread the virus at the same rate that adults do. There's been little to no spread from children to the adult teachers. If the teachers are most vaccinated, as the claim goes, well, then there should be no concern because, after all, if you get the shot and the shot works, well, then you're inoculated. That's the whole point of it all. And at the same token, the negative effects on children can be very severe. Within the first hour, it's a 20% decrease in oxygen. And what actually this science, again, there's studies that show this that are out there that they choose to ignore, that in fact, children are disproportionately hurt by long-term mask wearing than adults are, which I found interesting because I would have assumed it would be the other way around because kids, you know, just tend to be stronger and healthier when it comes to those things. But it disproportionately affects them. That lack of oxygen is not good for a number of reasons. And the constant on and off actually exposes them to more sickness than if they didn't wear a mask.
Right. And I sent them actual studies from the NIH. I mean, I did extensive research on the harms of mask wearing, and I sent it to them, all .gov sites, all NIH sites, all the studies that prove that they give people headaches, they decrease your oxygen, they give you mask mouth, all those things. They're just not interested in hearing it.
But yet they go out and they try to proclaim this banner of the science. I don't know what signs they're talking about, because, again, I just want to point out, you made note of the fact these are studies coming out at NIH. It's the very places that they claim that they make all of their decisions by, but in fact, they're just ignoring it. And they're creating a narrative, and they only support what fits their narrative.
Pretty much. I mean, their consulting team, we've discovered, is two family physicians in our area. And who is the third one? Oh, it was... two family physicians and our health intern, which my understanding is she's a nurse in the city.
And you had to find out. I mean, we've seen this with other places where they have these medical teams. They won't even tell you who they are half the time. But look, let's be clear. If they work for any of the major healthcare systems, they're going to toe a certain line because their job's on the line. I mean, and I'm not trying to be mean or impugn anyone, but look, we've seen it. I've got direct firsthand evidence of the fact that these doctors are being threatened, that they have to toe a certain line or else. That's what it comes down to. Andrew, we got to hit the break. But first, I want to give you a hearty round of applause from the Merry Band of Regulars for what you're doing, because we talked about this in the last segment with Kevin Nicholson about one voice. By the way, I heard a second voice. It sounds like you have maybe a young child with you, which is awesome. And I just want to point out, here you are trying to do all the things that you have to do for your family, but yet you're out there on the front line fighting to keep their freedom. And I really appreciate what you're doing. Please keep in touch with us. Let us know how this progresses. And if I can help in any way, know that I'll be happy to do that.
Will do, and I'll actually see you Friday at the Constitution Day dinner as well.
Awesome. Well, I was about to promo that after the break, so that's perfect. That's a perfect segue.
There you go. I segued you.
There you go. Andrea, I appreciate it. Have a great rest of your day, and look forward to meeting you on Friday evening. It is the Constitution Day dinner for the Outagamie County Republican Party. Our big special guest that's joined the lineup is Congressman Jim Jordan. You may, I don't know if they've shut off sign-ins yet, but go to ogop.org if you want to try to get a ticket. If there's any any available, that's the place to get it. We'll be back with more of your calls right after this.
The Regular Joe Show. Dan Bond.